This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16 in the evening and you're with Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. We are taking a look at how the political situation at the federal level is impacting the states. So on the line with us is James Chai, Head of Commercial and Research at Invoke Solutions and also a Malaysia Kini columnist. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So back in GE14, when a number of former BN stronghold states went to Pakatan Harapan, it was hailed as a significant achievement. In light of how allegiances seem to be shifting now, how do you feel about this whole situation and what's happening?
I think what has happened for the past few days has been one of the most aggressive display of horse trading and hard bargaining we've ever seen. And it's only after the resignation of Tun Mahathir, as well as the series of interviews by the young Diputan Agong, did things really calm down a little bit. I personally feel like every other person that the entire thing is a bit unnecessary because there were no trigger events other than the self-interest as well as the ego of the select few politicians at the top. And it's only now that we're starting to see some sort of materialization as to what's really going on. And the effects at the state level is getting a bit apparent. So I thought that it is an event that could have easily been avoided if the politicians paid more attention to what the people want.
What kind of ripple effects will these political changes have on governance at the state level?
I think there are two levels of complexity that would affect what happens at the state. One is Bersatu's stance on whether they would work with UMNO, because we're listening two different versions as to whether they would work, they wouldn't work with UMNO entirely as a corrupt bloc, or whether they would work with select few UMNO politicians who they regard as not being corrupt. The other level of complexity is whether Azmin Ali's loyalists would actually follow him and defect to the other side, and therefore switching the dynamics of the state government. And I think what has happened so far is that there was a change of government in Johor and likely to also be a change of government in Malacca. I also foresee, however, there may be certain changes in leadership because other than maybe the more unstable states like Johor, Malacca, Kedah and Perak, there's also Selangor, which is the richest state in the country and currently is being helmed by the Menteri Besar Amiruddin, which is very close to Azmin Ali in a Pakatan Harapan state government. And therefore, there may also be a change of leadership besides a change of government in other states.
So we did hear earlier from the still Kedah Menteri Besar, YB Mukhriz Mahathir, who basically said, things are as per normal, just go to work. Don't ask me whether you need to be here or be there. You know, work is going on as usual. Do you think that this has affected day-to-day operations or by and large, it's been going on, just the same?
I think regardless of whether there is a change of government or not, it wouldn't change the day-to-day operations that much because what happens at the state government level is relatively slow and hidden. I think one day at the federal government would be equal to sort of 5 days at the state government. That's how slow in comparison it is. Because I think the effect, however, is more towards party politics. Most political parties actually see state government as a tool to just amass resources as well as influence for their political party. That's because the primary prerogative of a state government is relating to the ones of land. So powers to sell as well as decide on what happens to certain land. And therefore, I think in the day-to-day operations, that there wouldn't be much change. He is right, because the changes are limited to the party politics level.
One of our listeners, Jason, called the Johor state government a backdoor one. Would you agree?
I don't know if what backdoor means anymore, because to be honest, last time, people can get quite technical as to what backdoor government means. I remember UMNO and PAS talked about how if they had succeeded 2 days ago, what they would form is not a backdoor government. if, let's say, the Prime Minister has relinquished his position and then assume a new one. But I really don't know what backdoor government means. But if it means that you take out entirely, let's say almost entirely, let's say 70-80% of the parties that people voted for and chunking with a new one, then that sounds a bit like a backdoor government because you didn't go through the election process. But I don't know.
So, you know, on that same note, right, while we're seeing these changes to Pakatan Harapan on the federal level, and they seem to be, you know, somewhat mirrored in the state level in Johor, if you look at Kedah, Bersatu and Pakatan Harapan have decided to work together there. Does this signal some sort of degree of maturity in our democracy in terms of states having their own autonomy, or is it down to personal relationships between politicians?
I'm more skeptical to think that whether this is a sign that states are having more autonomy or not. I think it is purely a matter of political convenience and staying in power. I think the question on whether they would comply with, let's say, the federal coalition, in other words, whether Bersatu can still work with Pakatan Harapan at the state level or not, the only question that they really ask is whether if they switch sides, can they be guaranteed the same position or even more? And that's why we're seeing, for example, if they have more to gain by switching sides, like in Johor and Malacca, then they would. They are less likely to have something to gain in Perak and Kedah because these two states are actually held by Menteri Besar from Bersatu. And their number of state assembly person are much lower compared to, let's say, Johor and Malacca. And therefore, they can't afford to switch sides because it's unlikely that they would be guaranteed, let's say, Menteri Besar positions if they do.
Do our state-level institutions have safeguards against a political change like this?
No. And I think that's the biggest problem. I think the past few days have revealed one thing to us, that the Westminster system has relied too much on the integrity of the actors. The reason why this is rarely heard of in other countries is because when there is no safeguards in place, the only safeguard that you have is confidence of the majority. Without any other safeguard, you need to have integrity from politicians to not do what they almost did for the past few days. And in the absence of safeguards and in the absence of integrity, this is what you have, right? All hell breaks loose.
So we've also been hearing analysts say, and not just analysts, but quite a lot of people, you know, I think expressing some disappointment that it seems like the political elite are determining things above the heads of the regular rakyat, so to speak. How do you foresee the electorate in these different states reacting to the ongoing political changes that, you know, they really, at this moment, have no control over?
I want to say that most people are extremely disappointed, but I know that's not the case. The reason for that is because in any change of political power, the people who wins will be happy, the people who loses will be upset. The only difference here is that the people upset will probably be even more upset, and this would add into a layer of polarization. Because what happened for the past few days was that politicians who got power seems to not be following the rules, or at least they're not listening to what we call the mandate of the people. But that's the only difference. I think there will be a huge group of people who will still be quite happy if anything changes. But it's just that the depth of the upsetness would probably multiply now.
If there ends up being hung state assemblies, do you foresee fresh elections taking place to elect new Aduns?
No, I don't think so. The main reason is because horse trading is much easier than going for a fresh election. Because I think also, not only has it not happened before, most of the time federal elections happen at the same time as the state elections. But it's also the case that if you have a hung assembly, you don't have that high a popularity support, which means there's no certainty that you would win. And therefore, I think they would be less likely to put themselves out there to be tested by the electorate because it's much easier for them to strike a deal with some of the more 50-50 politicians to jump on their side.
So I recognize that asking you this question, this last one, is a little bit difficult considering that there are still, you know, just so many unknowns. Mm. But how will changes in state governments impact their relationship with Putrajaya, you know, both in terms of what's happening right now and who is in Putrajaya right now, and also for the next government?
Yeah, you are right that it is harder to answer this question
I'm
now.
I'm sorry.
I do think, however, that the relationship between state government and federal government has been rather independent for so long. In other words, they are quite remote and detached. But the only thing that I could say is that the closer you are to lose federal power, the more aggressive it will be for you to snatch power at the state level. Because I always consider from the perspective of party politics, whereby they cannot lose both areas of resources. They must still have something that is protected. And therefore, the efforts, however, to pursue state government power would be more and more aggressive. And I think that's the one that will transpire for the next few months, even if the federal government stuff has been sorted out.
James, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So that was James Chai, Head of Commercial and Research at Invoke Solutions, also a Malaysia Kini columnist, talking to us about state governments and how they're faring in the midst of all of this. If you would like to share your thoughts, you can, of course, call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Just to say that after the 7:30 news, you have a choose-your-own-adventure situation. You can either, talk to us about what you've been watching to disconnect and ignore everything that's been going on, the chaos that's been going on, or you can talk about movies and TV that have informed your understanding of politics. We're going to be doing the same. We're basically going to be vacillating between those two things on Popcorn Culture. The usual gang, myself, Arvin and Sharmila, are going to be joined by A Bit of Culture's Cam Raslan, who's also a bit of a cinephile. So that is coming your way after the 7:30 news. We'll be back. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.